if somebody wanted to do what you do, like, how does that work? You know what I mean?
Well, honestly, I don't think nobody can do what I do.
Oh.
You know,
that could have been the cold open right there.
Ah, oh, we missed it.
Welcome to the Wilson Wealth Show, a thought-provoking show about building wealth in the new economy. Each week, members of the Wilson Wealth team and their guests will discuss how to navigate the world of personal finance, stocks, real estate, and entrepreneurship to help you build wealth in the new economy. And now, here is your host, Sierra McCosh.
Well, it is great to have everyone on the show. So today we are going to be talking all about entrepreneurship through Derek's experiences. Derek started out in a career of education and transitioned into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Sierra, I'm just excited about today's show because we finally get to sit down with someone I've admired for quite a long time. And that is indeed Derek Salter. Derek, again, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Maurice. You doing okay?
Can't complain, man. Can't complain. You know, you and I just got back from a trip. I don't want to be like one of those multi-level marketing guys, so I'm not going to say we were somewhere on a beach or something like that. But, you know, we kicked off the summer together already, so it's good to get you back in, you know, on a more
absolutely
formal basis. Definitely. So I'm just going to get down to it. You know, 5 years ago, and you know I love this. 5 years ago, five, 6 years ago, you posted very publicly on Facebook, "Good night, God bless." And you let the world know you were done being the principal of a leading public school in Nashville, Tennessee. You effectively left your day job to run your real estate business. How does someone who rose so fast in their first career and after so many years of training get to the point where they can quit so early and strike out on their own? How'd you do it?
Well, Maurice, it actually took, you know, about 20 years for me to get to where I am now. But, you know, I just kind of started investing when I was in college. You know, a lot of my friends were spending their refund checks on rims and car stereos, and I was buying a house, you know, to actually live in. And so I got my first taste of real estate there. And then I had this really good friend. His name was Corey Early. He left Huntsville and he was working as a pharmaceutical sales rep in Chicago at the time. And he was telling me, "Hey man, I'm getting ready to quit this job." I'm like, "Hey man, you just got to Chicago. You're only 25 years old. Why are you going to quit a job that's paying you $100,000 a year?" And he said, "Man, I'm in real estate, you know, and I'm doing really well. I just did my first deal and I made $250,000. And the first thing I said was, "Man, stop lying. You did not have $250,000. We were just broke here all together 2 years ago. So you can't be moving that fast." And so Corey gave me his bank account passwords and I logged in his account and he sure enough had $250,000 in his account. So I started saying, "Man, what are you doing? You know, I want to do this." And, he said, "Man, well, you know, I'm just flipping houses right now, you know, renting houses and, you know, using home equity line of credit to pretty much do everything that I've been doing." So I said, "Man, can you come teach me?" And he came down to Huntsville. I took a home equity line of credit out on the house that I was currently staying in. And we found a condo. I remodeled that condo. And I sold that condo within 3 weeks after finishing and remodeling it. Now, keep in mind, at the time, I'm a teacher. This is, what, my second year, and I'm making $32,000. I sold a condo, and my net profit was $34,000. So I made my entire salary in a month and a half. Yeah. And ever since then, my mind had just kind of been wide open, you know, to real estate.
Well, that explains, because I was going to ask you, you know, well, let me just say, like, first, let me let the audience know before we go further. You are indeed a client of Wilson Wealth. And you know, we just happen to have very successful clients. But I want the audience to know. And while you can't share your experience with our firm because of how we're regulated, you know, you can tell your friends, but you can't tell everybody else. But I just want the audience to know that. But also, you know, I've known you for a while, even before you were a client. And I knew real estate was something you were into. Do you think you have a passion for it? And why do you think that is your passion, if so?
Yes, I do have a passion for it, Maurice. I've just always admired, you know, how I can walk into a house. It can be run down, and I still see value in it. I see value with things with real estate. And, you know, just from watching, you know, others, you know, coming from where I come from, it's the quickest way, you know, to $1 million and, you know, to financial freedom. So, you know, that has been my passion in order to set my family up, you know, so that my kids don't have to face some of the same obstacles that I had to growing up. And so real estate has provided me that opportunity to make sure that everything is good moving forward.
You know what? That explains your passion for the business. But if we're being honest, everyone's got a passion for something, right? You know, and some of us are lucky enough. I mean, you know, it's like cliche. I want to do something I'm passionate about, right?
Right.
And some of us are lucky enough to be passionate about something that's actually profitable. Like for you, it's real estate. For me, it's investing. But, you know, having passion alone doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be successful. So I come back to where you are. I come back to Nashville. I come back to Nashville every year for homecoming. And I hear the same thing. Man, look how much Nashville has grown. I should have bought this property, or I should have held on to that property, and I'd have all this money, you know. And what I want to know from you, and without you sharing any trade secrets, why do you think you were able to capitalize on the local market in ways that other people only talk about?
Maurice, I would have to say a lot of luck and a lot of actually, you know, doing what others are afraid to do. Mm. You know, once we began, you know, I had a tenant, how it all got started for me. I had a tenant that was renting a house that, you know, we owned. And my neighbors kept calling me every other day. Hey, this guy's having a party over here, you know, every weekend. You know, so I finally said, you know, let me go over and see what this guy's doing. So I went and talked to the guy, and he said, hey, man, I'm renting your house out on Airbnb. I said, So that kind of explains everything. I said, well, you need to tell me everything you know about this Airbnb process, or you're going to have to get out of this house. So, you know, he told me everything. He gave me a great foundation about Airbnb. And then after that, you know, I told him he had two options. I said, you can either buy this house, or I'm going to double your rent. You know, because I see the amount of money that you're making. And he chose the latter. He chose to buy the home. Mm. And so when he made that move, that let me know how serious this was. So my wife and I, we had some money saved up. We borrowed a lot from our 401ks. And, you know, I bought my first property. And after I bought the first property, within 6 months, I was buying another. And just kind of followed that process, man. And everything just turned out great. Just actually doing it and not talking about it.
Right.
I would say is the biggest reason that I've been successful.
Right. I agree.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'm just like, tell me more. But on a more serious note, though, what did your wife think about your transition into entrepreneurship, and how has it impacted your family? Like when you first got started, like what was that conversation like, if you could let us into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was 24, when I was getting ready to walk away from my teaching job, you know, at that time, she said, Derek, you know, you need to really think about this. You know, you're just getting started. You don't have a lot of money saved up. And the real estate market might tank. You just never know what could happen. And, you know, education is your first passion. So why don't you fulfill your educational goals first? And real estate will always be here for you to come back to when you're ready. So me being me, you know, I listened to what she said, and she was right. I took her advice. That's when we had the market crash, like immediately, like 6 months to a year right after that. And so the second time around, when I was a principal this time, I told her what I wanted to do. She saw the income that was coming in. She said, hey, you're actually missing out on money by going to that school every day. You satisfy all of your goals. You know, she said, now it's time to move on if you think that you're ready. So she was very supportive of the transition.
I see. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, you know, you touched some on how you got the knowledge to start doing real estate investing. So with that, like, how do you, if somebody wants to do what you do, like, how does that work? You know what I mean?
Well, honestly, I don't think nobody can do what I do. Oh. You know, in such a short time frame, you know, my thing, you know, because people come to me all the time with some of these same questions. And, you know, my thing is I tell them, hey, if you want to invest, just start doing it now. Just find you something. What I recommend to most people, is to buy a duplex or a quadplex. That's always my first recommendation when people tell me they want to get into the market. But if you're wanting to get into the short-term rental side, you know, my thing is, hey, you got to pick the right city, the right time, and just go ahead and buy a property, you know, because I can sit here and talk to you all day, but until you actually, you know, start doing the work, right, you know, that's going to be the biggest thing, the biggest way that you're going to learn.
Got it. Okay. Fantastic. So you don't have like a course or something like that, the Derek Salter real estate course or what have you.
We're working on it.
Got it. No, definitely. So what was your greatest challenge as an entrepreneur and how did you overcome it, Derek?
In the beginning, it was just the financing part. Getting banks, you know, after they see a couple of properties on your credit, you know, they started to be a little bit hesitant because at the time banks wasn't really familiar with short-term rentals and how they worked. And so what I began to do is tell my friends about it and show all of my friends how much money I was making and say, hey, if you put this property in your name, add me to the deed, I'm going to give you half of everything and we're just going to split this. So that way I was able to actually double, you know, the amount of properties that I had at the time. So I believe I had four or five and I got all of my friends to sign on and let my company manage the property. And also, you know, I have equities in the house and as well as profit sharing as well. So that way all of my friends started making a ton of money, you know, and I doubled, you know, my properties that I had. So I went from 5 to 10 within a year.
Yeah, that's smart.
It's definitely smart. Definitely.
So after being in business for several years, what do you know now that you wish you would have known when you first started?
Hindsight is always 20/20, right?
Of course.
I just wish that I would have purchased more real estate, you know, because at the time you could buy houses that for, you know, $10,000, $15,000, you know, a very, very little amount of money. You know, I just wish I would have, you know, purchased those homes and just rented them out, you know, just as much inventory that I possibly could have gotten. That's what I wish I would have done back when I was younger, between the ages of 24 and 30.
I see. Fair enough. And you touched a little bit, Derek, on the economic downturn back in like 06, 08, around that time frame. How did that have an impact on your business at all?
Not at all. It didn't affect me in any way because primarily for me, you know, at that particular time, all I was doing was renting. So when people are not able to buy houses, there's always going to be a renter's market. Mm-hmm. Always, no matter what, because everybody's not always able to buy. You know, so my rental properties were doing great and were able to get me through, you know, that downturn without any losses.
Right. Well, you know, I'm sure you've been keeping track with how the current housing market is. You know, we're hitting like all time highs and lows. Has that affected anything for you?
Yes. Just on where I can purchase land at, you know, here in Nashville now. It's becoming really scarce. You know, we have so many people that are buying and it's just becoming scarce and hard to find now. And when you do, of course, a nice price tag also comes along with that.
I know you're based out of Nashville. Are there any other cities that you invest in?
Yes. We purchased our property down in Atlanta on Reynolds Square. Okay. So we're transitioning into that market, but they're kind of going through the changes that Nashville went through and the zoning and the regulations right now. So I'm going to put that on pause until all of the smoke clears there. And then once it does, you know, we'll continue to tap into that market because the home that we have there is doing exceptionally well.
I see. My area, fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, you gotta have money coming through Atlanta if you're gonna, you know, be in business in the South. So that's definitely tops. You know, something I wanted to get back to, Derek, that I think, you know, anybody who's looking to strike out from their job has to consider. I remember when I left my first job, I was such a rookie in corporate America. I felt bad, you know, leaving them. And I talked with HR and, you know, it was a brother in HR. And he said, look, man, you don't owe these people anything. And I felt that I did. They put me through grad school and made it very comfortable for me my first 2 years out of college. I imagine for somebody like you, you know, it's easy for me to vilify corporate America. You know, for me, corporate America is cubicles, parking, you know, parking garages and commutes. But you were technically not in corporate America. You were in, you know, the school system and you were leading a team and you were doing things that impacted, you know, students and their families in a positive way. And if I'm not mistaken, I mean, you turned a school around, right? So was it hard to leave, you know, that you know, you were having, you know, a very, you know, beyond the money, you were impacting so many lives. Did you feel guilty? Did you feel, was it hard? You know, what was that like?
Yes and no, Maurice. I would say, you know, yes, it was hard because, you know, I came to that school. I had been there 2 years as their principal. When I got there, the school was the worst performing school in the state of Tennessee. You know, it's on the bottom 5%. When I left Maurice, the school was in the top three of the best, highest performing schools in the state of Tennessee.
Wow.
And this all happened over a two year time frame. So, wow. You know, just, you know, a lot of people followed me to that school. I had some teachers that I was very loyal to and committed to, and they were loyal and committed to me as well. You know, and the families, you know, the families in that community, they relied upon me. They relied upon my vision. They believed in me and helped me, you know, see my vision for that school through. So, you know, leaving them, you know, was very, 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 very difficult. It was a long thought out decision. But at the time, you know, I was always told in order to help somebody else, you got to help yourself first. Right.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. So I figured I could better impact the community, you know, from a position where I wouldn't have to deal with the bureaucracy of education, you know, so that's the no part that I don't regret because just dealing with, you know, central office and, you know, all these people over you that are trying to tell you to do things in education that they've never done before, you know, so actually, you know, severing that tie and not having to, you know, answer to anyone. No, I don't regret that at all.
No, I bet that was pretty freeing in a way.
You can only imagine. My wife, the day that I resigned, my wife told me about 2 months later that I was a much nicer guy.
I bet. Well, Derek, I have kind of like an off-topic question for you. I have been seeing so many things going around about squatters and rental properties, especially like Airbnb and other rental properties like that because of the pandemic. Have you had any experience with that at all?
Fortunately, I hadn't had anything remotely close to that. You know, the worst thing I get is, you know, somebody stopping up a toilet real bad and having to send my maintenance guys over to clear it out. But no, we haven't had any issues with squatters or anything like that. And partially because, you know, we're in our homes probably once a week, you know, just checking everything out and making sure everything is running efficiently.
That's smart. Yeah. I bet the maintenance is pretty crazy for that, though. I mean, how many properties did you say you have right now?
So now we have about 42.
42. My God.
Yeah.
That's a full-time job right there.
absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, luckily, you know, I have a great team. My assistant, she's phenomenal. My maintenance guys, my accountant, like everybody that's a part of the team, like they really make sure, you know, that they try to take as much stress off of me as possible and free me up so that I'm able to go out and do other things.
That's awesome.
Now you're using the word, Sierra mentioned it, and you mentioned it. You know, let's get to the other side of this because, you know, work hard, play hard, right? I want you to tell the audience. I want you to tell. All right. So when I was a kid, people think Instagram is bad because it shows all these lifestyles. And I have to tell people, when I was a kid, every Sunday after the football games, a show would come on CBS called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. We like to see people going big, right? Like, you know, if we may not like that we can do it 24/7 on our phones, but we like to see it. You know, tell the audience what it's like to wake up and own 40 plus properties, leave a career. I can't say some of the other stuff you're doing, but what does it feel like to be like free? You don't answer to nobody. do you get the God complex? Do you have to catch yourself like going hard? Because see, Derek's doing stuff he hasn't mentioned on this call yet. I'm not gonna say he has to mention it, but like, what is that like for you? Like compared to where you thought you were headed when you got your graduate degree, like. Can you believe it? Do you like put on Drake? Like, what do you do?
well, Maurice. Well, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is just stretch. You know, and I yawn. You know, and I praise the man up above for you know putting me in a position, you know, to just wake up and do whatever the hell I want to do. You know. But I'm pretty consistent with my routine. You know, sometimes I take the kids to school, but for the most part, I wake up, I work out with my trainer. I come back home, I make me some bacon and eggs over easy, you know, and around 11:30, 12 o'clock, you know, I sit in front of this computer and my day starts, you know, and that's kind of where the magic happens, you know, getting out, you know, with other guys that are in the field and, you know, just hanging out with them and coming up with new innovative ideas of, you know, how, you know, we can put our minds together and make some more great real estate deals happen.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, I'm glad you went there with it because a lot of folks, I see a trend now where people say, I don't have a dream job. I don't dream about working or things of that nature. And you hear a lot about like passive income. But at the end of the day, I have not seen examples of truly successful businesses where there's not the founder or the new leader who isn't putting in something like a work day. And I know I spent time with you offline. You know, you're on that computer. Now you're counting money, but you have to count it because you got to make sure you're getting, you know, people that are renting from you are actually doing what they're supposed to do. And then you got to deploy all your service teams and whatnot. So you're working. I mean, you're doing CEO level stuff and but you're doing what you want to do. So I think sometimes people lose sight of the fact that, you know, you have to definitely still work your business on some level. You can't just let it drift out there because you're constantly competing with a lot of different operators in that space. So I'm glad you mentioned the routine.
That's correct, man. And with these young kids, they think that you're just going to wake up one day and, you know, just be an entrepreneur all of a sudden, you know, but it doesn't happen like that. You know, it takes time. It takes sacrifice, you know, and I have to say you have to have some luck in there somewhere, you know. Right. You got to meet that right person that can help you, you know, get to that next level, you know. And fortunately, I've had all three of those.
So you kind of alluded to some expansion into Atlanta. What's next for you that you can share without giving away too much?
Well, you know, of course, you know that I have... I'm a minority owner of one of the bars, Nashville Underground on Broadway. You know, we're purchasing some yachts in Miami. We're gonna rent those out. We have a community going up in Mexico Beach, Florida, that we're currently working on, and we're building houses now. So, you know, that premium that I was paying to builders, now I don't have to pay that anymore because now I'm the builder. You know, so we're doing that. And, you know, I heard Nashville is getting a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know. Okay. I guess I see what you're saying. I'm not saying nothing else. I'll let that rest then.
Yeah.
The audience will catch that. And maybe in future listenings, they'll catch that.
Yeah.
That's what that is. You got to come back. Yeah. This is just an overload of hashtag Black excellence. I'm just overwhelmed as I speak.
Yeah, definitely. I just can't. People who went to Tennessee State University in the 90s and really early 2000s, they'll be able to reflect on what I'm saying here. Like, I'm just impressed that you were able to capitalize on an opportunity. And yeah, you mentioned luck. I do agree with that. That's part of it. But I mean, you get the break, but then you got to follow through, right? And so I'm just happy that somebody like you was able to do it. I remember when we first met, I think you were coming out of A&M or going to A&M, I think. And just to see you take it from soup to nuts and now expanding is awesome. So I'm definitely happy you came on the show. Definitely will have you back for future episodes as you get on covers of magazines and whatnot.
We're serious, definitely.
You know, I'm always going to support you, always.
Definitely. Did you guys have anything else for Derek?
No, thank you so much for coming on, Derek. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Derek. Well,
thank you guys for having me. I really enjoyed going back down memory lane with you all.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. When you come back, you know, and you've reached, you know, Deca Millionaire, I think that's what it's called. You know, you can maybe sponsor the show, you know.
Definitely. Maurice, are you throwing a sales pitch out there?
Always, man. Always be closing. Well, bet. All right, Sierra.
All right. Well, with that being said, thank you all for listening. Please visit us at www.wilsonwealth.com, on Instagram and Twitter at Wilson Wealth, and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Wilson Wealth for more information about us on the company. We'll see you guys next week on the Wilson Wealth Show.
Thank you for listening to the Wilson Wealth Show, a thought-provoking show about building wealth in the new economy. Each week, members of the Wilson Wealth team and their guests will discuss how to navigate the world of stocks, real estate, and entrepreneurship to help you build wealth in the new economy. Please join us next time on the Wilson Wealth Show.